Loneliness is not lack of company. Loneliness is lack of purpose. And that is the thought for today. Welcome to 7 Good Minutes. I'm Clyde Lee Dennis. Thanks for joining me for what I believe will be 7 of the most enriching minutes of your day. In today's episode of 7 Good Minutes, in our Mindful Monday segment, we learn why it's important to be comfortable being alone. Enjoy.
It's not hard to understand the fear of being alone. The empty apartment after work, the eeriness of Sunday afternoons, the sense of exclusion during the holidays. We know the agonies of being on our own very well. What's far less well understood is the enormously high price exacted on the other side of the equation. The fear of being alone is perhaps responsible for more unhappy relationships, more throttling of psychological development, and more pent-up misery than almost any other. It is, by any reckoning, one of the single greatest contributors to human misery and the driver of some of our weightiest and most unfortunate decisions. If only we were able to get the costs of what is, for the most part, a simple misapprehension clear in our minds, we might save ourselves a substantial portion of our lives. We can pick out at least 7 unnecessary penalties. For a start, and most obviously, people who are afraid of being alone make some very wrong choices around the company that they keep. They have no option but to privilege anyone over the appropriate one. They don't have the strength to be able to hold out, as one must, for the 20th or 200th candidate. The only souls with any realistic chance of ending up with the partner they deserve are those who've properly reconciled themselves to the prospect of perhaps never being with anyone at all. Being with not quite the right person sounds almost bearable, but extended over time, like a proverbial pebble in a shoe, slightly wrong ends up indistinguishable from entirely horrific. Every beautiful location we travel to together will be ruined. Every promising moment will be trampled upon. Every success will be compromised. What may begin as slight fractiousness or tedium winds up as cataclysmic irritation, self-disgust, sexual misery, broken finances, and the kind of excruciating loneliness that, ironically, merely and innocently being on our own would never have the power to generate. Furthermore, when terrified of loneliness, we have no strength to argue for our needs within any relationship. One is always at the mercy of the one who fears loneliness less. Partners develop an advanced sense of the person who has nowhere else to go. It's no use stamping our feet after an argument and saying, "I've had enough," when in reality, everyone knows that we will never have had enough. So scared are we of having dinner on our own. We can't now imagine ever knowing how to change the dishwasher fluid alone, walking into a party by ourselves, or taking the initiative to send our nephew's birthday presents. So used have we become to using the other person to compensate for our weaknesses. We experience none of the bracing, but also educative pressures visited upon the single, who have no choice but to overcome their inhibitions, those brave souls who have to learn how to garden, go on holidays in the mountains, endure empty weekends, call up their mother or cook a chicken, and thereby achieve the resilient competence upon which true social discrimination and liberty rest. For those who have too lightly signed away their freedoms, there are sure to be constant and searing reminders of what they've foregone. Every party and every walk down a busy street will provide evidence of what might have been. All those potentially fascinating or charming members of humanity, they have now forever been disbarred from getting to know, because they were so unnaturally scared of having a bed to themselves for a few more years. It isn't just other people we won't get to know. it's also ourselves. The constant presence of companions stops us from making friends with our own minds and exploring our feelings and ideas in a way that only extended stretches of solitude allow. We use another person to distract us whenever any slightly painful or challenging internal matter comes into view. There ends up being so much we won't ever really feel or understand about ourselves, so many big questions about our careers and our ultimate purpose that we will ignore, because there was always someone else on hand to chat to about what to order in for dinner. Worst of all, we might not even be actively miserable after a while. We'll grow used to cozy mediocrity. We won't be curious or restless. We won't dare, as the single must, to go up to strangers and risk our pride. We'll stop learning. We'll believe that we've answered our needs completely, but only on the basis of suppressing our knowledge of what our needs really are. To start to correct everything that stems from this ridiculous fear of being alone, we should, from a young age, learn that being alone never means there is something wrong with us, just that we are being appropriately patient until what truly satisfies us shows up, if indeed it ever does. We have a choice. We have not been punished. We will never learn the true promise of community, discover our own interests, or hold out for the connections we deserve until we make a genuine peace with the prospect of a life by ourselves.
Please keep in mind, this is about half of the entire presentation. If you're up for a treat, you should definitely listen to the whole thing. You can do so by clicking the link labeled View the Full Video on YouTube in the show notes. So that does it for this episode of 7 Good Minutes. Until next time, let's be civil to one another out there. Thanks for listening.